Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Dalad Amud Beis, about 8-9 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami teaches us another halacha regarding writing on Shabbos, which is Asur. Kosovais Achas V'Tveria. If somebody wrote one letter in Tveria, V'Ois V'Achas V'Tzipari, and he wrote another letter in Tzipari, Chayiv. He's Chayiv for Ksiva. Why? Because the Gemara says, Ksiva hi, this is considered writing, El Shemachosa Kreva. The only thing that's missing is bring the two letters together. Bringing the two letters together do not prevent this from being Ksiva. So there's a few ways of explaining this Gemara. Rashi says that both letters have to be written at the edge of the paper or the tablets on which they were written. So, and you just have to bring them together. It seems from Rashi, if the letters were written in the middle of the tablets, in the middle of the paper, then Rav Ami's rule would not be applicable. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that even if the letters are in the middle of a piece of paper, since folding a piece of paper is permitted on Shabbos, so it doesn't make a difference if they're in the middle of the paper or on the edges of the paper, that you're chayiv. The Rashba learns a different pshat, that Tzipori and Tferia were near each other, and what happened was somebody wrote one letter in Tzipori and another letter in Tveria, and he read one and then he went to read the other one. Since they're very close to each other and they could be read and seen in a fairly quick time together, that's why it's considered ksiva. But that's not posh pshat in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Votanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Kosovo Shnei Koisli Habayis, if somebody wrote on two separate walls of a house, or Vashnei David Pimkas, or on two columns of a ledger, they cannot be read together, potter, it's not considered ksiva, answers the Gemara. Hasa mechosamais de kreva. Over there, an action is lacking in order to bring them together. It can't be put together unless they cut the papers to bring them together. Hacha lai mechosamais de kreva. Here, no action is required in order to bring the letters together. There's a very interesting machloikis in Hilchos Shabbos that some paiskim want to use this Gemara to help us understand. The Levus says that it's also to open and close a book that has words written on the edge of the pages. He says that when opens such a book, he's in fact erasing, and when he closes such a book, he's in fact considered writing. The Taz disagrees, and he brings a proof from our Gemara that the act of uniting letters that were written on two different pages is not considered ksiva, and separating such letters is not considered mechika. Because he says, if a word which is divided into two parts is considered as though it is erased, then one who writes two letters in two separate places should not be chayiv for kosef. The Rav Ami says only somebody who writes two letters in separate places is chayiv, even though they're not currently adjoined. So what is the proof? That the act of separating or combining letters in itself is not a significant act, and only because he wrote them, and he wrote them in a fashion that they could be easily put together, then and only then is it considered ksiva. The Maimer Matcha says that there is no proof from the Taz. He says there's a difference between when we're talking about whole letters and fragments of letters. He says that although it's clear from our Gemara that just joining letters that are already written is not considered kosef, and that's why Rav Ami had to be speaking about a case where he actually wrote the letters, In the Lavusha situation, where we're dealing with fragments of letters, there, even if he didn't actually write the letters, he just joined them together, or vice versa, separate them, he would also be considered Kaisif. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Higia ois achas. If somebody corrected one letter, Chayif, he's Chayif, for Ksiva. Ask the Gemara, Hash the Kaisav Ois Achas Potter. Now, if somebody wrote only one letter, we say he's Potter, Higi Ois Achas Chayif. So can it be that if somebody just corrected one letter, he's Chayif? Amrav Sheshis, Hachim Maiskin, what are we talking about here? Kigon Shinot Lulagagal Shalches. We know that the way a Ches is written, it's written as two Zions, with just a little piece on top connecting them. So here he took off that little connector, and he made it into two zayins. And like Rashi explains, we're talking about a sefer that required in this spot two zayins, not a ches. Rav Amar, kigon shenot lo tagash al ches. He took off the little part that sticks out of a dalid, vasaresh, and turned it into resh. In other words, we're dealing with a sefer that needed a dalid, that needed a resh, and it had a dalid, and by him taking off that dalid, by taking off that little piece and making it into resh, he made the sefer into a sefer. So Rashi says that we're dealing with a situation where the sefer is not written properly. For example, it's supposed to have a resh and it has a dalid, and we learned earlier in this Masechta, Osa la'odom la'hasha sefer she'ena mugan. A person not allowed to have in his house a sefer which is not properly written, because the pasuk says in Eiv al tashkein ba'olecha avla. You're not allowed to have in your house something which is improper. So by taking this piece off and turning it into a resh, he corrected the problem. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, why does Rashi have to say this whole introduction that he took off the, you're not allowed to have in your house an improper sefer, and he made the sefer proper? He should have just said that he perfected and he finished the sefer. So the Mefarshim explain, because really in this situation there was no writing at all. All that happened was that he just perfected the sefer by chok toichus, by removing something. So that might not be considered writing. That's why Rashi teaches us, you write, it may not be chiyuv for writing, because it's not really writing. He didn't make any mark with a pen. But he finished the sefer, and he's chayiv. So it could be that Rashi is trying to say that he won't be chayiv for kosef. He'll be chayiv for makbe patish, for completing a sefer. Another interesting shayla that could be asked based on this Gemara is like this. Let's say the Eish Avram speaks about this shayla. Let's say somebody's reading from a sefer Torah, and when he's looking at the sefer Torah, there's a piece of wax covering one of the letters of the Sefer Torah. So is he allowed to ask somebody, or is he allowed to just scrape off the wax so that letter should no longer be covered? The Eish Lavrom says it's mutter, but the Paiskim say from Algamar it seems that would be usser, because here we see that even though if you don't actually do an act of writing, but as long as you make the sefer usable, that's considered a malacha. So there too, by making the sefer usable, by removing the wax that's covering the letters, it would be chayif. One more interesting shayla regarding kosef. While bin halach, if somebody wrote one letter, they wrote it on carbon paper, and by writing on a carbon paper, you now have two letters. Will that be considered kosef or not? The Oz Nidbru says it would be considered kosef. The Mishnah halacha says it would not be considered kosef. Continues. Now, one more important point, which will be relevant for the next Gemara. The Gemara gave an example, somebody had a ches and turned it into two zayins. But we know that in the Sefer Torah, there are certain letters that have to have crowns on them. One of those letters is the zayin. Here, when he separates a ches into two zayins, it won't have crowns on it. So how could that be considered writing a zayin? So the Kivega says from here, we see that for Hilchah Shabbos, it doesn't require to be chayiv, you don't have to have the zayins to be considered ksiva. Tana, niskan lechtov ois achas. If somebody intended to write one letter, for all of Yodishtaim, and at the end he ended up with two letters, Chayif, he's Chayif. Says the Gemara, V'atnan Potter, we learned in our Mishnah that such a person is Potter. Answered the Gemara, like Kasha. Hard the boy is a unit. The Mishnah is talking a case where letters still need to be crowned. So therefore he's not chayiv until he actually writes them. The ruling of the Bryce is referring to a case where the letters don't have to be crowned. Therefore, he's chayiv for writing them even without the crowns. So there's a few ways how to learn this Gemara. Rashi seems to learn that we're looking in a situation if the letters need crowning or not. Meaning, if we're writing a Sefer Torah, and in a Sefer Torah, the halacha is the letters need crowning. So therefore, if he wrote letters without crowning, he's not chayiv. However, the Bryce is talking about a case where he doesn't need crowns on the letters. So therefore, he's potter if he doesn't, he's chayiv because the crowns aren't necessary. The Rashba learns that pshat is not if it needs or doesn't need letters. We look at the person's intent. If the person wants to write this letter with crowns, so until those crowns are there, he's potter. Where he doesn't intend to make crowns, so therefore, as soon as he completes writing the letters, he's chayiv because he's chayiv because he has no intention to make a letter. This goes back to what Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, that it's not that a Sefer Torah is possible without the letters. Now, the Rishonim ask, why in such a case are you chayiv? When this person wrote, he had in mind only to write one letter, and therefore he should be potter. Similar to a case that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if somebody only had kavana, only had intent to throw a ball 2 amos in Shus Rabim, and it ended up going 4 amos, that is potter. So why is here different? So there are a few truths I'm giving. We're just going to mention the Meiri's Teretz. He says, by Zrika, when somebody has a mind to throw 2 amos, he's potter. As far as the Torah is concerned, he didn't do anything wrong. Even with Rabbanan, he essentially didn't do anything wrong. However, writing one letter is even with the Raisa Asr. The only thing is you don't have the shear. So that's why 2 amos, it's not just the issue that you don't have the shear. 2 amos is not a malacha at all. 1 letter is a malacha, just it's missing in the shear. That's why in the case of somebody who intended to write 1 letter and it turned out to 2, he's chayiv because he had intention to write and now he has the shear and he's chayiv. However, when somebody wrote intended to throw 2 amos and ended up going 4, he didn't intend to do anything wrong at all, and that's why even if it ends up going 4 amos, he'll be potter. Kosov Azach Nitrikin, the Mishnah said if somebody wrote a letter abbreviation, Rabbi Yeshua ben Maaser Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser says he's chayev, v'chom poitrim v'chom say he's potter. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, Menayin Loshon Nitrikin min haTorah, where in the Torah do we find this concept of abbreviation? Shenemar, it says regarding Avram Avinu, Ki Av Hamoin Goyim Nesaticha, Hashem made the father multitude. Av, so the Gemara says that the words Av and Hamoin are abbreviation. Aleph of the Av is Av Nesaticha Le'uma, I made you the father of all nations. Bacha Nesaticha Be'umais, you're the chosen one amongst the nation. And Hamoin is Chaviv Nesatich Memes, I made you the most beloved. The Mefarshim explained the letter Ches and the letter Hey could be interchanged. Melch Nesatich Lumas, you're the king over the nations. Vostig Nesatich Bamas, you're the most distinguished. Nem Nesatich Bamas, and you're the most trusted to the nations. Rabbi Yochanan, the day Amar, from a Pasuk in the Seres Dibris. It says the Seres Dibris begin with Anoichi. So the Mefarshim explained usually we find the Torah uses the Lashon Ani. Why does it use over here the language Anoichi? It means Ano Nafshi Ksivas Yehavis, I myself wrote and gave the Torah. Rabbanan Amri Amira Ne'ima Ksiva Yehiva, a pleasant statement written and given. Ikad Amri Anoich L'Mafrei, we should read it backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Namonim Amarea, it was given in writing, reliable our statements. So the Dvar Yeshua, the Shas HaTshuva's Dvar Yeshua, explains this Gemara beautifully. He says, there are two advantages over the written word, over the spoken word. One is when somebody speaks, especially if somebody has gift of oratory, so what he said, even if what he says isn't really right and doesn't make that much sense, but if he presents it in a very beautiful way, people don't really examine it and accept it as true. Another difference between another advantage over the written word over the spoken word is that in a written word you have time to look at it and review it and study it and make sure that what you see makes sense. In the spoken word, you don't have that much time to pay attention and to make sure what's being said is correct. That is what the Gemara says that Dvar Yeshua is trying to tell us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Aseres HaDibros, and he told us, Amir Ne'ima, what I'm saying is very beautiful, but since it's so beautiful, you may think that if I said it, you'll think it's right, because the speech was so nice, but it's not really emes. Ksiva Yivis, I wrote it down. It's not just what I said that is so beautiful because it's presented well. You could examine it in writing, and you'll see that it's nice. Yehiva Ksiva, and the other pshat, why written is better than spoken, because you have time to examine it. Yehiva Ksiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us in writing. Nemanim Vareh, its words are emes. Its words stand under any scrutiny. You have enough time to look at it, and you'll still see how emes every word of the Torah is. The Noam HaMelech used to explain, Yehiva Ksiva Nemanim Navareh. Yehiva Ksiva, if somebody takes all of the words of the Torah, all of the Ksiva of the Torah, Nemanim Navareh, he will be able to come to a Madrega of Amuna, of trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara with some more examples of Natrikin. Debay Rav Nosson Amri, Kiyar Hadarech Lenegdi. This is a pasuk when the Malach told Bilam he was wrong for hitting his mule, because he says, Yorat Hadarech Lenegdi. What does Yorat mean? Yorah Rotsa Notsa. The mule was afraid because it saw the angel, and that's why it turned aside. The Bein Rav Shmuel Tano Carmel. It says that the kind of kernel that should be used for the Karmel HaOmer is Carmel. What does Carmel mean? Karmole, a full head of grain, plump. Rav Achba Yaakov Omer, the Pasuk says that David HaMelech tells Shlomo about Shimi Ben Gera, V'hu Klolani Klolom Nemretzes. He cursed me an explicit curse. Like the Mefarshim say, he should have said Kilolo Nimrotza. What's Nimretzis? Natrikin, what David HaMelech was saying is, what did Shimi say about me? Noifu, that I'm an adulterer. Moyavihu, I'm from Moyav, and therefore I'm not allowed to be part of the Jewish people. Ritzeyahu, I'm a murderer, with the story of Bathsheba and her husband, Uri Bachiti. Tsaruhu, I'm an enemy. Toivahu, and I'm disgusting. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer, one more example of Natrikin. When Yehuda meets Yosef, and because the brothers were apprehended with Yosef's royal goblet, so Yehuda says to Yosef, Manadavik, how can we speak? Manadavik, how can we justify ourselves? So the question, the way the Mashiach explains the Gemara's question is, here he says that we can't speak, we have nothing to say for ourselves. And right away he says, Nitzadok, as if we're tzadikim. What does Nitzadok mean? Nechoinim anachnu, we are right, we're upright people, tzadikim anachnu, we're tzadikim, tarim anachnu, we're pure, dakim anachnu, we are clean, kedoshim anachnu, we are holy. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Hakoysu shteyotsu b'shtey alamis. If somebody writes two letters in two lapses of awareness, Achr Shakas v'Achas Ben Abayim, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, Rav Gamliel b'chayiv v'cham patur. Rav Gamliel says he's chayiv, v'cham hold his potter. And we already encountered this machlokes. What is the machlokes? He had a yediyah after he wrote one letter. And we know that if somebody does an aveira, and then he has a yediyah, he realizes he did an aveira, and then he does the Avera again, he's chayiv for each Avera separately. Here he only had a yediya for a chatzi shir, for only one letter. Is he chayiv or not? Reb Gamliel says the Gemara b'Maikam, what's the machlokes? Reb Gamliel saw the en yediya l'chatzi shir, knowing something after half a veira is not considered knowledge. So these two yediyas combine, these two maisa veiras combine, because the yediya in between doesn't separate them. Even if he only became aware of what he did after half Avera, it's still considered an awareness that separates the two actions. And like Tosfos explains, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that teaches us the halacha of Yediyah, so Gemara says, Yediyah's chatos, only when he knows that he did an Avera, that could separate. Here, when he didn't know that he did an Avera, that can't separate. Now, there's a very fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to learn the line of the Mishnah of Achas Shachas V'Achas Ben Abayim. Rashi says that if somebody did something in the morning and somebody did something in the afternoon, it's impossible that he did not have a yediyah in between, and therefore, according to Rabbanon, who say Yesh yediyah l'chatzi shir, he won't be chayiv. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, what's the shir, morning to afternoon? How many hours, how many minutes do we identify to say that we're sure that the person had a yediyah? That's why Tosfos says the Mishnah should be learned as one din. Somebody wrote something in the morning, and then somebody wrote something in the afternoon. If he knew in between, the Chacham will say he's potter. If he did not know in between, Chacham will say he's chayiv. And the Mishnah is trying to teach us how far Rabbi Gamliel is machmer, explains Tosfos. That even though the person did one in the morning and another one in the afternoon, even if there was a yediyah in between, so two things happened. There was a time lapse in between, and also there was a yediyah in between, but since the yediyah only was on one letter, that won't separate and you'll be chayif. So it'll be a very big machlokes if somebody didn't have yediyah in between the morning, if did something in the morning and afternoon, what will be the halacha? According to Rashi, according to Chum, he'll be potter. According to Tosfos, he'll be chayif. There's an interesting shiloh in the Minchas Chinuch. What's going to be the halacha on Mezid? That if somebody wrote one letter on this week's Shabbos, and then he wrote another letter next week's Shabbos, will those two writings be mitzdarif? The Minchas Chinuch says a very big chiddush that they will be mitzdarif, since over two Shabbosim he wrote two letters, it will be mitzdarif. The Noida Behuda seems to argue on the Minchas Chinuch. Hanu l'chabayna, hanu l'chabayna, hanu l'chabayna. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, ha'olik shloshe chutim b'tchila. If somebody weaves three threads as he begins to weave a garment, for achas ala orig, or if he adds a thread to a fabric that's already partially woven, chayiv, he's chayiv. V'cham ma'imrim, bein b'tchila, bein b'soif, it doesn't make a difference at the beginning or at the end, shura shnei chutim, the minimum measure is always two threads. And explain the Tosfos Yontif. That's why this Mishnah of Oirik comes in here, because really, as we're going to learn later in this parak, we're going to learn the halachas of trapping, which would make sense to come after writing, because that's part of the writing process, preparing the parchment. But since the shear for weaving is the same as for writing too, so that's why the Mishnah speaks about Oirik, and then we'll talk about trapping later. If somebody sets two heddle eyes, we have to give a short introduction into the weaving process. Weaving is done when you have vertical threads and horizontal threads going one on top of the other. Now, in the primitive times, they did not have such fancy machines, automatic machines, how to set up a wave machine. So what they used to do was like this. They used to set up all of the vertical threads, and then they used to take a frame and set up two frames actually, and set up the horizontal threads in such hedels, they're called. So oisishtei batinirim, somebody sets up two hedel eyes, benirim in those hedels. Bekiris is another type of a machine. Benas bekar besal, or in a different types of a sieve, which are also in effect a type of weaving. Chayiv, in all these cases, he's chayiv. The teufishtei tfir is somebody who sews two stitches. The korea menas lifishtei tfir is somebody who tears in order to sew two stitches. In all these cases, he's chayiv. The Mefarshim explain that what's going to be the halacha, the Ritva speaks about this, what's going to be the halacha if somebody tears the mount, not two stitches, but the mount he tears could sew two stitches. Will he be chayiv or not? And Ritva says, he'll be chayiv. Kiosh Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak said, Tanishtayim, that according to Rabbi Lezer, a person has to sew two threads and he'll be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Vanat Nan Shloish. Our Mishnah says three, so how could you say that's two? Answer the Gemara, Lakasha. Ha Balimi, Ha Baktini. One version of Rabbi Lezer is dealing with thick threads, and one is with thin threads. Which version is for what? Amle Lahaigis, some explain it in one way. Ramle Lahaigis, and some explain it the other way. Amle Lahaigis, some explain it in one way. Alimi, by thick threads, tlos loisasri. Three threads will not unravel. Of a tray, two threads, sasri will unravel. Katina, but if you're using thin threads, tray namilo sasri, even two threads will not unravel. Ramele lahagis and others explain it the other way. Tlos yadiyah, when you have three threads, they're noticeable. Tray lo yadiyah. Two are not noticeable. That's with thin threads. Alini, but with thick threads, tray nam yadi, even two threads, they're noticeable, and yachayif. Tanya. Ha'orik shloish shechutim betchila. If somebody weaves three threads at the beginning, vechrol arig, or he adds one thread to a woven fabric, chayif. He's chayif. V'chamayimrim, the Chum say, bein betchila, bein besoif, whether it's at the beginning or whether it's the end, shi'urei shnei chitim. The mount is two threads. Or besofa, on the edge. Sometimes somebody, people used to add on the edge, along the edge of the garment, a weave going in the other direction. Shnei chutin, the minimum is two threads. Beroich of shloish batanirim, in the width of three hedel eyes, that contraption I mentioned earlier, which they used to be able to put on the horizontal threads. Halamaza doima, l'oyrik tzutzel cotton, it's like weaving a small belt. Shnei chutin beroich of shloish batanirim, that's the width that you chayif from. For Eirik Shlosh Chutim Betchila, somebody who weaves three threads at the beginning, Vachra Arug Chayiv, and if he adds one to an existing fabric, is Chayiv. Whose sheet is that? Stomach Rebbe Lezer, that's the way Rebbe Lezer explained. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Braisa, Eirik Shnei Chutim Algas, if somebody weaves two additional threads on a large piece of woven fabric, Va'ala Imra, or two threads on the border of a new piece of fabric, chayif, he's chayif. Rabbi Lezer, mafil echad, even one. Ubesafa, on the edge, shnei chutim, the same shear we saw before, b'roich of shloish batanirim. Hala mazah doima, what's this comparable to? Loirik tzutzel cotton, somebody makes a small belt, shnei chutim aroich of shloish batanirim is the shear. V'oirik shnei chutim alagas, when the Braisa says that somebody takes two additional threads on a large piece of woven fabric, or l'imra, or two threads on the board of a new piece of fabric, chayiv, stam krabonin, that's the sheet of the rabbonin. Hoish shnei batinirim, we learned in the Mishnah somebody makes two hedel eyes. My benirim, what does it mean? Amar baya, tati v'batinirim. So the way Rashi explains is, when they used to set up the vertical threads, they used to have sticks on the top, on the bottom, that they used to loop those threads over. So Rashi says sometimes they didn't use sticks, sometimes they actually used the horizontal thread. So if somebody takes and wraps each thread two times, the chad v'nira, and then around the vertical thread once, that is also considered setting up the loom. Bekiris, my Bekiris, the Mishnah said Bekiris, Amarab Mutsuvisa. It's the frame that they used to have this loom on. They used to have two frames, then take for the even and for the odd horizontal threads, that's setting it up on the frame. Setting up two on the frame is the melacha of Eirut. Vatayfishtei tfiris, somebody who sews two stitches. Ask the Gemara Tanina b'Avos Melachos. We already mentioned this when we learned the Avos in Perek L'Gadol. Why is it repeated here? Because we learned there about Tayfishtei tfiris. Answered the Gemara. Shim the Kavoy L'Misni Sefer. Because we want to learn in the Sefer. The Korea Manas Litvishtei tfiris. Somebody who tears in order to sew two stitches. Ketani Nami, that's something new. That's why. Ketani Nami HaTayfer. That's why we learned here also the Halacha of Tayfer. The Korea. Ask the Mishnah. Terei is also not new. Hanan min tanin of Avos Melachos. That was also mentioned in the Mishnah in Perek L'Gadol about Avos Melachos. Says the Gemara, I'm Mishnah the Kabbalah Mishnah Sefer. Because we want to learn in the next Mishnah. Hakarei b'chamosai al-meisai. What's the halach of somebody tears when he's angry or for his dead? Shemachi k'tani, that's what we learned here. Hatoifishtei tferis. Somebody who sews two stitches. Vakarei amanas litvishtei tferis. Somebody who tears in order to sew two stitches. Ask the Gemara Hechem Mishkachsla, where would somebody just make such a small tear to make stitches? Answers the Gemara, the Avdi Kikisasa. When somebody has on the garment a lump, like a packet formed on the piece of garment, and he wants to straighten it out, what he'll do is, he'll tear the section to re-sew it. And if you tear two stitches, you chayif. Says the Mishnah, Hakurei Bechamasai, somebody who tears while he's angry, Valmesai for his dead, Vakal Makalkin, or anybody who acts destructively, Paturim, Apartar on Shabbos. However, Makalkam Nas L'Sakin, somebody who destroys in order to repair, Shurik M'Sakin, the shear will be the same as when somebody repairs. That means, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, if somebody tears in order to stitch, so the tearing is the same shear as the stitching. Just like by stitching the shear is two, so too by tearing the shear will be two stitches. Shear hamalam v'manapitz, the minimum measure of whitening or disentangling, v'tzevei or dyeing, v'tava or spinning, k'molei roich v'asuta kofel, double the width of a sit. The sit is the space between the index finger and the middle finger when they are stretched apart. If somebody whitens, disentangles, dyes, or spins enough wool for thread twice this length, his chayv kar mechatis. For oruch nechutin, somebody who weaves two threads, shiur kamali sit, again, this is the shear. So our Mishnah said that if somebody tears when he's angry or for his dead or because he has a nifter, he's potter. Ask the Gemara of Raminu, we learned in a braisa, hakarei b'chamasa, if somebody tears while he's angry, or be'evloi, or while he's in oval, v'amesoi, or for his dead, chayiv, he's chayiv, v'abish mechal se Shabbos, even though he was mechal Shabbos, yotzi de kriya, he has fulfilled the chayiv of kriya. So before we go further, the Yerushalmi asks a question. How could somebody be yotze chiyuv kriya? We know that there's a rule of mitzvah hababa aveira. Somebody does a mitzvah through doing an aveira, he has not considered that he fulfilled the mitzvah. The example would be if somebody would use stolen lulav on sukkah or stolen matzah on Pesach. He's not yotze the mitzvah of lulav or sukkah because it's considered a mitzvah hababa aveira. So ask the Yerushalmi, why is this not considered a mitzvah habor ba'aveira? So the Beis Yosef explains, so the Yerushalmi says, since the act of kriya is a, the Yerushalmi answers, I'll read the words of the Yerushalmi, taman gufan aveira, bram hocha hu over aveira. So there's a few explanations how to explain the Yerushalmi. The Beis Yosef explains that mitzvah baba avera, what is the concept of mitzvah baba avera? That an avera item cannot be used for a mitzvah. A stolen item is considered an avera item and therefore cannot be used for a mitzvah, for like for lulav or for matzah. the garment that was torn on Shabbos is not in itself an Aveira item, and therefore it's not considered Mitzvah B'Aveira. Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah explains that the concept of the Mitzvah B'Aveira is only applicable when the Mitzvah was made possible through the execution of an Aveira. He says, an example, eating stolen matzah is considered a Mitzvah B'Aveira, because if the person wouldn't have stolen the matzah, he could not eat matzah. However, tearing a garment in Shabbos does not disqualify the mitzvah of Kriya, because if you didn't tear on Shabbos, you could have turned Kriya after Shabbos. And therefore, it's not the tearing on Shabbos that made the mitzvah possible. The Sfas Emes says a different explanation. Mitzvah Baba Aveira teaches us that the Aveira causes the mitzvah to happen. The Kriya does not occur at the moment one tears his garment. Because the mitzvah of Kriya, explains the Sfas Emes, is not the act of tearing the garment, it's the act of wearing the torn garment. So even if the garment was torn in Shabbos, that has nothing to do with the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear a torn beged, and therefore there's no problem mitzvah b'aveira. Says the Ramban, what's going to be the difference between these pshatim? If somebody does kriya on a stolen beged, according to the Beis Yosef, he won't be mekayim mitzvah kriya. According to Tosfos and the Sfas Emes, that since kriya, the mitzvah just to wear a torn beged, or like Tosfos says, you could have torn it after Shabbos, even if he did it on a torn beged, he would be chayiv. The Shami says, where would we use this concept of matzah that it would not be a mitzvah b'aveira? The Shami says, what would happen if Pesach is on Shabbos and somebody carried his matzah from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim and he used that matzah for mitzvah's matzah? Would it be mekayim the mitzvah? Says the Shami that he would be mekayim. Because, again, the way we explained, that doesn't have anything to do with the inherent mitzvah. But we're back to our kasha, and our Mishnah says that somebody does kriya on Shabbos is potter, and here it says somebody does it on Shabbos is chayiv, and it says, the Gemara lo kasha, hav mace today, it makes a difference who the mace is. If it's a mace that he's a relative, then he's chayiv, that's what the Bryce is talking about. Hav mace the alma, where he doesn't have to do kriya, that's why he's potter. Ask the Gemara, v'mace soik tani. Our Mishnah says his mace, it seems to be his relative. Answer the Gemara, oilam mace today. Our Mishnah is talking about his own mace. But even though it's his relative, it's not somebody who he has to tear kriya for, because tearing kriya is only by the seven closest relative. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, v'chachem hu, if the person in our Mishnah is a chachem, chiyuv mechayiv. Everybody's mechuyiv tear kriya. The Tanya, chachem shemes, chachem the dies, hakel k'oivav. Everybody's his relative. Ask the Gemara, Hakel Kroivov Salkadaitech, is everybody his relative? Alema Hakel Kroivov, everybody's considered like his relative. What does that mean? Hakel Kroivim Alov, everybody has to tear Kriya for him. Hakel Chotzim Alov, their minig was by Elvaya, they used to bear their shoulders. Hakel Alov Berchov, Mavim Alov Berchov, their minig was that they used to eat the first meal, which you're now allowed to eat from something you, from your own food, and they used to eat it in the street. So tomorrow, we'll have to say that our Mishnah is not talking about a chacham. Says the Gemara, the Adam Kashahu, but if the person was an upright person, chiyuvim mechayiv, we're also mechayiv to do kriya. The Tanya, why do people's children die when they're young? So somebody should cry for Adam Kashahu. Ask the Gemara, kidei shiyifka, in order for him to cry, over the shakmine, we take a security for him that he should cry when such a thing will chas v'sham happen. As says the Gemara, "Mnei shloi bachavis abel al adam kasher," because he did not cry and mourn for an adam kasher. So ask the Mashah, it's taka a terrible thing not to cry for an adam kasher, but does a person deserve such an einish that his children should die? So Mashah explains like this: we're dealing here with a person who should have had the einish. He did a terrible aveira, for which his children are die. if he would have cried and mourned for an Adam Kasher, that would take away that Einish. If he doesn't cry for such a person, the Einish remains. Shakala Baikal Adam Kasher, Sami cries for an Adam Kasher, Michael Kalav and Isov, we forgive him for all his sins. Bishvil Kavach also for the honor that he did for that upright person. Says the Gemara, when dealing with a person who in our Mishnah who's not an Adam Kasher, everybody has to be Misavel. I saw a very nice pshat. How do we know if a person is an Adam Kasher? The Gemara Masechta Chulin says that what is a treifa? When is an animal considered a treifa? If it can't live for 12 months. An Adam Kasher obviously means that it can't survive for 12 months. Who is an Adam Kasher? An Adam Kasher is a person 12 months during all seasons, during all times, he acts like he's supposed to. Says the Gemara further, be the Kabi Sasha Tzis Neshama, if the person is there when the Adam Kasher dies, Chiyuv Mechayiv, then you're obligated to tell your begotten. The Tanya of Shimon was Oimer, Ha'oimed Al-Mes B'Shashit Tzis Neshama, somebody stands by a nifter when he dies, Chayv Kroya, you have to tear Kriya. Halmaz Adoima, the Sevatar Shinisrafa. It's like a Sevatar that's burnt. And Rashi explains, because every Jewish person, no matter what his status is, certainly did some Torah mitzvahs, and therefore when he dies, we have to tear Kriya for him. So the Gemara, we're talking about that he was not there, B'Shash Yitzis Neshama. Now, the Mefarshim explain, that the Paiskim say that our minig, the Ramah says this, our minig is that the only time we tear Kriya, not on one of our relatives, is when we're there b'shas yitzis neshama. Now the Mefarshim also ask, our Gemara seems to say that both by a Adam Kasher and by a Chacham you have to tear Kriya. So what is the difference between an Adam Kasher and an Adam and a Talmud Chacham if you have to tear Kriya both of them? So there are a few truths. One teretz is that by an Adam Kasher only people on his status or less have to tear Kriya. A person who's greater than the Adam Kasher would not have to tear Kriya. By a Chacham everybody has to tear Kriya. Another nafkamina they say is that by an Adam Kasher only people who are there whether B'Shas Misa or B'Shas Burial have to tear Kriya. By a Chacham, even if you're not there by the Kfura or by the Misa, you just heard about it, you would have to tear Kriya. Which also would be the Halacha. The Halacha is that somebody who has to tear Kriya on a relative, so as long as he heard about the Patir within 30 days, he has to tear Kriya. That would be the Halacha by a Chacham. By an Adam Kasher, that Halacha would not apply. Answers the Gemara, okay, Tenech Mesos. We explained why the Braisa says that you chayiv for tearing, and the Mishnah says you potter for tearing by a mess. El Chamoisa, Chamoisa Kasher. And our Mishnah says that if you tear out of anger, you potter, and the Braisa says you chayiv. Says the Gemara, Chamoisa, Chamoisa Nami Lo Kasher. Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon. The machlokes of the Brice and the Mishnah will be the machlokes of Yehuda of Shimon, which we've had many times. Rabbi Yehuda dama melacha and shen tzrich legufa chayivla. Rabbi Yehuda holds a melacha shen tzrich legufa is chayiv. Harav Shimon dama melacha shen tzrich legufa potala. So here too, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to have the exact constructive purpose to be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon has to have the exact constructive purpose that there was in the Mishkan. Ask the Gemara, aim the Shamadai Rabbi Yehuda, when did Rabbi Yehuda say, Amlach Shen Etzrich Legufas Chayiv, B'Mesakin, when somebody is doing something that corrects, B'Mekalkin V'Shamadai, do we hear about it when he's doing something that's destructive? Amar Rav Avin, Han Nami Mesakin Hu, this is also considered rectifying. The Ovid Nachas Ruach Liyitzroi, he's satisfying his Yetzirah by cooling off his anger. Asked the Gemara, "Kegavim misharit? Is such behavior permitted?" V'tanya Rav Shimon Loz Mishum Chilf Ba'Agra Shom Mishum Rav Yochanan Neri Hamakara Begad B'Chamos. If somebody tears his garments when he's angry, or Mishaber Kel B'Chamos, he breaks utensils in his anger. V'Mefazim Oisah B'Chamos, he scatters his money because of his anger. Yeba Necha Ka'Ovid Avodah Zarah. He should be considered to you like someone who is Ovid Avodah Zarah. And the Farshim explain beautifully. Why is getting angry similar to Avodah Zarah? Because just like somebody who serves Avodah Zarah accomplishes nothing, because we know that Avodah Zarah is meaningless, so too getting angry is like Avodah Zarah. Getting angry accomplishes nothing. Shekachem Nasa Sheyetzahara, that's the way the Yetzahara works. Hayoim Amel Eseikach, today he tells him to do this, Ulmach Amel Eseikach, and tomorrow he tells him to do that, Ach Oimelai Avoid Avodah Zarah, until he tells him to serve Avodah Zarah, for Hailech Voivid, and the person actually goes and does it. Amar of Avin Mikra, where do we find this concept in the Pasuk, disparaging anger? Because the Pasuk says, Lo Yibacha El Zar, Vlo Shishtach Vle El Necher. There should not be in you a foreign god. You shouldn't bow down to such a god. Eza el zor sheyesh begufa shel adam. What is the strange god in a person? Have oim as a yetzahara. So even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the malach and the tzricha legufa, is chayiv. But why not be say in such a case where you in doing something in anger which you're not allowed to do? Answers the Gemara, the ka'avid lemirma en shabese. The person is doing it because he wants to strike fear amongst the people of his house. Rabbi Yehuda would pull off the border of a garment to demonstrate his anger. Rav Achba Yaakov tava mani tvira. He would break broken utensils. And the first you point out, why did he do dafka broken utensils? Because he didn't want to transgress Baal Tashkis ruining a good garment, a good utensil. Rav Sheshes Ramalei La'amtsei Munonei Reishu. Rav Sheshes would throw fish brine at the head of his maid servant. Rav Abba Tarav Nichtamar. Rav Abba broke a lid of a pitcher. So there's a constructive purpose, and we're saying Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold Chayiv in such a case, and Rabbi Shimon will hold Potter. Says Rashi, now we can answer the question that we had by mace. We don't have to say all the answers we gave that what kind of a mace we're talking about in the Mishnah. The Mishnah we're saying is going according to Rav Shimon, who holds the Malachish and its Tzrich Legufa is Potter. The Bryce is going according to Rav Yehuda, who holds the Malachish and its Tzrich Legufa is Chayiv. Just to end the shir with what the Miri says, that even though we just learned in the Mishnah, we just learned in the Gemara, that you're allowed to tear clothing or break utensils if you have to show displeasure on people in your family, he says, the Miri says, Roy l'chol chacham, every smart person should be careful, shloy aglatzman v'kach, should not act this way. Shema yimdu anoshim shenim uganim. People who don't know the difference may start to learn that it's mutter to get angry, and like we just learned, getting angry is a terrible aveira which could bring to serious repercussions.